And welcome back. This is episode 20 of the Daily Buddhism, and I'm your host, Brian Schell. We had a short week this time because of the holiday, so we're only going to cover four topics this week. Give us a little bit of a shorter show. The big announcement this week was that we now have the call-in number. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with your questions or topic ideas, your comments or suggestions, or anything else that you think might interest listeners here. Write this down. The number is 937-660-4949. Call in and let me know what you think on any topic. And of course, you can always send me email at dailybuddhism@gmail.com. Of course, you can stop in at the website, www.dailybuddhism.com. You can comment on any topic, read the text of anything I discuss here, read the comments from other listeners and other readers who have posted there, and of course, sign up for the daily mailing list while you're there. Donating to the site is easy and helps keep things running here smoothly and better each week. And if you'd like to help out without sending money, you can look up the Daily Buddhism in the podcast section of the iTunes store and leave a glowing review for the show there. I think I only have 6 reviews up there now, and I know I wrote one of those myself, so that doesn't really count. As far as my other podcasts are concerned, the last I checked, no one had ever written a review for the Tao of the Day site. So if you listen to that one and like it, write a review on that one too. And someone just left an amazing review for Arcane Tales on iTunes. And a review like that makes doing it all extra rewarding for me. The other sites and shows are fun to do, but the Daily Buddhism is what I consider my flagship show, and that's where the action really is. Keep your emails and questions coming in, because I just love doing this. And now, on with this week's show. And even though I've already mentioned the phone number, that was our big announcement for Tuesday, so I'll read that post now, just to be complete. As I've mentioned a few times over the past weeks, your continuing donations are going towards improving the show. Although the donations are still a bit short of my goal to cover the voicemail for a year, I've jumped the gun and set it up anyway. It'll only take one or two more small donations to cover the cost, so I figure, why wait any longer? So we now have an online voicemail system that you can call with your questions and comments. I love answering your emails, and they give me something to share with all the great readers on the daily email list, but I also know that some people don't like writing long emails. And there are all the people who listen to the podcast who aren't on the daily email list. So this project is meant to make interacting with me and the Daily Buddhism for listeners and readers easier. More access and easier interactivity for everyone. So here it is. You can call 24 hours, 7 days a week at the Daily Buddhism call-in line. The phone number is 937-660-4949. It's not toll-free, but long distance is cheap enough that I hope it won't be too much of a problem for you. This is an automated voicemail system, not a direct phone line, so I won't answer live. So, you can call any time of the day or night without any fear of bothering me or getting caught up in a conversation. After you hear my recorded greeting, just state your first name and maybe where you're calling from and then get onto your comment or question. If you've ever listened to the callers on a talk radio show, try to use a similar format. If you don't want to use your real name, then make up something fun, a handle or something. Hi, this is Brian from Dayton, Ohio, and I have a question about karma. Blah, 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 blah. Or something like that. Or something else entirely. It's your line, use it how you like. You don't have to have a question. If there's a story you'd like to share, or some classic reading or text, an inspirational poem, a book review, or anything that you'd like to share with the other listeners, call in. You can leave a recording up to 10 minutes, so you don't have to hurry. And my usage policy for this is, if you call the number, be aware that if it's appropriate, I'm going to use the recording of your call on the weekly audio show. That was really the whole point of getting the number. Now please don't say anything too personal, and especially don't give out your contact information on the phone. If you don't want thousands of listeners to have that information, then don't say it. I also might paraphrase your call in writing for use in the daily email. Now that I think about it, I guess it's probably about time for me to write up some kind of official privacy policy for the whole Daily Buddhism site. I'll do that for next week. For now, don't worry about it. Send in your calls. I want to hear from you. That was 937-660-4949. Go ahead, give it a try. Let's see what we can do with it. Then we had the koan for the week, and this one is titled The Last Poem of Hoshin. The Zen master Hoshin lived in China many years. Then he returned to the northeastern part of Japan, where he taught his disciples. When he was getting very old, he told them a story he had heard in China. This is the story. One year, on the 25th of December, Tokufu, who was very old, said to his disciples, "I am not going to be alive next year, so you fellows should treat me well this year." The pupils thought he was joking, but since he was a great-hearted teacher, each of them, in turn, treated him to a feast on succeeding days of the departing year. On the eve of the new year, Tokufu concluded, "You have been good to me. I shall leave tomorrow afternoon when the snow has stopped." The disciples laughed, thinking he was aging and talking nonsense, since the night was clear and without snow. But at midnight, snow began to fall, and the next day they did not find their teacher about. They went to the meditation hall. There he had passed on. Hoshin, who had related this story, told his disciples, "It is not necessary for a Zen master to predict his passing, but if he really wishes to do so, he can." "Can you?" someone asked. "Yes," answered Hoshin. "I will show you what I can do 7 days from now." None of the disciples believed him, and most of them had even forgotten the conversation when Hoshin called them together. "7 days ago," he remarked, "I said I was going to leave you. It is customary to write a farewell poem, but I am neither a poet or calligrapher. Let one of you inscribe my last words." His followers thought he was joking, but one of them started to write. "Are you ready?" Hoshin asked. "Yes, sir," replied the writer. Then Hoshin dictated, "I came from brilliancy and returned to brilliancy. What is this?" This line was one line short of the customary four, so the disciple said, "Master, we are one line short." Hoshin, with the roar of a conquering lion, shouted, "Ka!" and was gone. Then we covered our letter for the week. I especially like the letters that apply to applying Buddhism to everyday real-life situations. Last week we talked about dog food, of all things. This week, it's job performance reviews. A reader recently wrote, "Hello, everybody here. I have a simple question regarding the karma generated if I wrote negative comments for a coworker job performance review. I've been refraining myself from false speech and practicing kindness as my religion," a quote from the Dalai Lama. "But my job requires me to give co-workers performance reviews, and it would be lying to management if I intentionally obscure any facts. I found it joyful to give co-workers due credit on a review paper. Now please help me to understand the karma flow if I have to comment on a co-worker's unprofessional performance. I don't want to make false speech to management, but a negative review would cause the co-worker pain. Please help me to find the middle way to deal with this situation." And then I gave my response that I'm not quite sure whether this answer is more Buddhist-related or simply good business ethics, but my answer is, Buddhism is all about reducing suffering and harm to others. If no harm is being done by your coworker's actions, then why mention it at all? I assume you ask this because there is something wrong. You weren't specific on the offense, but if someone is acting unprofessionally, it's probably causing harm somewhere, even if it's only in building resentment and hard feelings in others. Even the act of causing you to worry enough to even ask this question shows that this person's actions are causing harm. Now, will your negative review allow the coworker a chance to correct whatever it is he or she is doing wrong? If so, your not making the problem known is going to cause harm as well. Will your review cause the coworker to be fired immediately? If so, then perhaps a gentle, unofficial warning would be in order before putting it on the report. Now, that depends on the situation and environment, so I cannot absolutely recommend that. However, if the problem is made known to the coworker, and he or she continues offending, then the person is just going to have to be responsible for their own actions. Under no circumstances should you deliberately lie about someone, whether or not you believe that a lie is going to do harm to someone. You can never really know when a lie is going to cause harm. But you're now asking about a lie of omission. Refusing to mention or actively covering up someone else's unprofessional performance is still a lie. Not only do you damage your own karma by lying, but you damage your coworker's karma by enabling him or her to continue doing something wrong. The bottom line, in my opinion at least, whether it's Buddhist or simply good business, give them a fair warning and the opportunity to correct the situation if you're able. If the behavior continues, then write your review objectively and truthfully, and let the chips fall where they may. And lastly, it was time to cover our weekly chapter on the Dhammapada. And this week's chapter is Chapter 4, about flowers. Chapter 4, Flowers. Who shall overcome this earth, and the world of Yama, the Lord of the Departed, and the world of the gods? Who shall find out the plainly shown path of virtue, as a clever man finds out the right flower? The disciple will overcome the earth, and the world of Yama, and the world of the gods. The disciple will find out the plainly shown path of virtue, as a clever man finds out the right flower. He who knows that this body is like froth, and has learned that it is as unsubstantial as a mirage, will break the flower-pointed arrow of Mara, and never see the king of death. Death carries off a man who is gathering flowers, whose mind is distracted, as a flood carries off a sleeping village. Death subdues a man who is gathering flowers, and whose mind is distracted, before he is satiated in his pleasures. As the bee collects nectar and departs without injuring the flower, or its color, or scent, so let a sage dwell in his village. Not the perversities of others, not their sins of commission or omission, but his own misdeeds and negligences should a sage take notice of. Like a beautiful flower, full of color, but without scent, are the fine but fruitless words of him who does not act accordingly. But, like a beautiful flower, full of color and full of scent, are the fine and fruitful words of him who acts accordingly. As many kinds of wreaths can be made from a heap of flowers, so many good things may be achieved by a mortal when once he is born. The scent of flowers does not travel against the wind, nor that of sandalwood, or of tegara and mallika flowers. But the odor of good people travels even against the wind. A good man pervades every place. Sandalwood or tegara, a lotus flower, or a vasiki, among these sorts of perfumes, the perfume of virtue is unsurpassed. Mean is the scent that comes from tegara and sandalwood. The perfume of those who possess virtue rises up to the gods as the highest. Of the people who possess these virtues, who live without thoughtlessness, and who are emancipated through true knowledge, Mara the tempter never finds the way. As on a heap of rubbish cast upon the highway, the lily will grow full of sweet perfume and delight. Thus the disciple of the truly enlightened Buddha shines forth by his knowledge among those who are like rubbish, among the people that walk in darkness. And that's it for episode 20. Stop back next week for more Daily Buddhism at www.dailybuddhism.com. Also, check out my other podcast, www.taoofthedaycom, and also www.arcanetales.com. Send me an email at dailybuddhism@gmail.com or call the new number at 937-660-4949. Until then, I'll see you next week.